sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Want you to make me feel like I'm the only girl in the world, like I'm the only one that you'll ever love. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everybody. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to Sex and Happiness. And this is a show about sex and happiness. And of course, I'm thrilled to be here once again. And today, my show is about really my favorite topic, orgasm. Woo! Orgasm is the thing that I feel runs the world. And I don't know if all of you agree with me or not, but some of you are loyal listeners, so you must be somehow in alignment with that, because you listen to this show week after week. I've said many times on this show that I feel that people should have orgasms as often as they brush their teeth. So that would be a lot of orgasms. And you know who you are if you're having them, and you sure know who you are if you're not. So today we're going to focus on the female orgasm, and I have two wonderful guests with me, and they're part of a group. The group is Welcomed Consensus. And Welcome Consensus are pioneering researchers and educators in sensuality, communication, and female orgasm. They're renowned for teaching deliberate orgasm, or what's known as doing. The body of information is a practice for pleasure and living. Deliberate orgasm is based on the new feminine model of orgasm for both women and men. And it is centered on how to best produce female orgasm and focuses on how to fully experience it. Welcome Consensus research emphasizes the effects it has on a person's choices, their sex life, and their well-being. My two guests today, my first guest is Sherry Testerman. Sherry is a sensual researcher and a sex educator with the Welcome Consensus. She's one of the founding members, and she spent the last 21 years teaching men and women about orgasm, friendship, and how to live rich and gratifying lives. Welcome to the show, Sherry.
Thank you, Lori.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. And I'm also going to introduce Rebecca. Rebecca is a magna cum laude graduate of San Francisco State University. She's been a student and researcher of sensuality with a Welcome Consensus. And by the way, I'm saying welcomed. W-E-L-C-O-M-E-D. Welcomed Consensus. And she's been with them since 1999. And we're going to be talking with Rebecca today about a DVD that she's starring in and all kinds of other things. Welcome to the show, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Great to have you. So as far as Welcome Consensus goes and orgasm, focusing on the female orgasm, can you tell me a little bit about that? Like how did Welcome Consensus get started, and how did you start focusing on the female orgasm? Because it seems a little lopsided to probably people hearing about this for the first time.
Well, we started the Welcome Consensus in 1992. But prior to that, we had been living together. It was a group of friends living together. We started living together in San Francisco in 1989. And we had been taking sensuality courses. So thus began our journey in researching and discovering sensuality, sexuality, and what that meant to us. And through that, we had a much emphasis on friendship between men and women, and women and women, and men and men. And as we began exploring our sensuality, we started doing this deliberate orgasm, where doing a woman would be where a man is stimulating a woman's clitoris and creating a high-level orgasm in her body. And through doing, it requires communication, you know, talking before the experience, talking during, and talking after. And so through all of this communication, which none of us had experienced before in our lives prior. I mean, we were having fun sex lives before, but this took it to a higher level, a whole new level. For myself, I mean, I discovered telling the truth to my partner in a way I had never done before. And so we're discovering more things, new things, and it just led to us eventually teaching. And now it's, you know, 21 years later, we've been teaching this information, and it's been expanding and growing. And
so a few things that you say in there are very noteworthy. One is, I immediately felt the book, The Harrod Experiment, which was written, I think, in the 60s or 70s, and it was a really popular book about people getting to Harvard and finding their roommates are boys and girls instead of just two boys in a room or two girls in a room. And then they have this whole social experiment also while they're going to Harrod University, which is code for Harvard. Were you all in school together? Is that how you, did you say that already? Were you at San Francisco State or something?
No, we were different walks of life. Prior to teaching, I was an esthetician. I had my own skincare business. Mm-hmm. In Union Square, and we all had our professions. Eventually, we quit all of our jobs and only taught within the welcome consensus.
And how many people are you talking about here? How many were the founding members?
There were four.
Okay.
And then we had extended community from there. But the teachers, RJ and Wendy and Kimberly and myself, and then at one point, the Badanskis, Vera and Steve Badansky, joined us. And since then, we've had other members join us. Rachel Slater, Terry Goffinet was a member of the Welcome Consensus for a while.
Great. So you're expanding and sort of amorphous in that, you know, sometimes you'll have your own regular founding members, and then sometimes you'll have some others join you. In the 21 years that you've been together, how many people could you estimate that you've taught this concept of deliberate orgasm or doing?
Oh, I'd say hundreds, and I could say thousands within viewers of our DVDs. We have 13 DVDs, a series on deliberate orgasm and a series on female masturbation.
Okay, that's great. It's great to know. Now, something else that you said, I'm going to ask you more about those, that series and those DVDs shortly. But before I do this, some other things that you mentioned in what you were saying about telling the truth to your partner, that set all the bells and whistles in my body off. So telling the truth to your partner, first of all, was it your partner, as in your beloved, your lover, your significant other? Or was it your partner in the moment, whoever that happened to be, who was doing you?
Well, that's a good question, and it would be all of that. But when it started, it was my partner, my lover, and he and I would have these conversations with each other, and they were conversations like I had never had before. I mean, I was telling him things that I had never told anyone before, and he was telling me things. And I would come away from those conversations feeling like I had just had sex. And it blew my mind. I thought, wow, I could have conversations with my partner and it feels like sex. And, and so that was mind expanding. And then with doing, the way doing is with, it is by agreement, two people having their attention on one person's body to create the optimum amount of sensation. So within the doing, my partner stimulated my clitoris, and he's looking at me. He's looking at my face. He's looking at my eyes. He's looking at my genitals. He's describing the way my pussy looks. And wow, how cool is that? And so then here's more opportunity for telling each other the truth. And then we would talk afterwards, too, and tell each other what we experienced, and it makes for quite a gratifying relationship.
That's wonderful to hear. So it's really, again, based on whether we want to call it nonviolent communication, communication skills communication, assertive communication, or radical honesty. So many people have called these communication techniques different things, but it's all the same. It really is based on telling the truth. Part of it is, yeah, I'm giving you this sensation, but while I'm giving you the sensation and you're receiving the sensation and you're giving me back sensation from your sensation, I'm going to report to you about it and I'm going to say nothing but the truth And that's actually what we're dealing with, a sacred space, if you will, of telling the truth.
Right, right. And it's been thrilling to be known, you know, to be known as a woman. And then it morphed into being known as a human being, and then knowing my partner as a man, and then I would know him as a human being. And to be known, I think that if everyone could have that experience, it's gratifying to the soul to be known.
I see what you say, like being known inside and out.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, is this a prejudice against men, though? Like, if you're only doing deliberate orgasming a woman, how do men feel about this?
That's a good question. And there's two parts to that, to answer that question. Well, there is doing a man. All of the principles that are in doing a woman can be transferred easily into doing a man, and they are. And so a man can experience an orgasm that is bigger and beyond anything he's ever experienced before. And the thing with a man doing a woman is that he gets the ability to produce an orgasm in his woman's body anytime and every time. And without doubt, he knows he's gratifying her. And the effects that I've seen on men, when they are able to do that, they blossom as men, and they're winners. They're winning, and they're succeeding, and it's undeniable. And so within this information, it just comes with it that men walk away winning beyond anything they've ever experienced before.
And when you say that, I mean, I'm not going to assume that anyone listening knows what you're talking about, but I sure do. Men love to get things right and win.
Exactly. Exactly, right.
They need to. It's in their wiring. They need to feel like they're always in this mystery and worrying about whether they're doing it right.
Exactly. And they're producers. And to produce pleasure for their woman anytime and every time. It's a beautiful thing. So really it enriches the dynamic, the man-woman dynamic. I mean, this could be taken into same-sex relationships, but right now we're speaking about, you know, men and women. And so, yes, it enriches the man-woman dynamic immensely.
Yes, and I know that it can, and I want everyone listening to get that. This can be taken into any dynamic. It doesn't matter who your partner is. You could be a woman-on-woman relationship. You could be a man-on-man relationship, and you could be doing this. Or you could be poly. You could be any configuration of the above. To be doing this practice,
that's right,
is something anyone could do at any time for you and with you. I actually have the practice. I learned it somewhere else, so I'll mention that in a second, but what your connections are here. But I have some partners that I practice this with that are not my beloved or my person. As a matter of fact, often a partner that I do with is not connected to me, but to someone else, but has the permission to do this with me. It's really a meditation that we do together.
Right. It's a friendly thing to do. Doing is a friendly thing to do. I mean, how fun to take care of your friend's body, you know, and put pleasure in it.
Yeah, it's great. It's really great. Sherry, thanks. Here's the one last question I have for you. I don't know if it's the last one, but in this segment, which is, I know of Moore University and the famous Vic Barranco, and certainly I know of One Taste and Nicole Dedone, and I know that Nicole claims to have gotten her material for orgasmic meditation from Vic Barranco. And now I come to find out that also she spent time at Welcomed Consensus. So is there any distinction here? Can we distinguish anything about you and these two groups? Because there are two other groups that do this kind of practice, this deliberate orgasm, or two people meditating, coming together on stroking a woman's clitoris.
Right, right. Yes. Well, Moore University is who we got our inspiration from. We took, as we were all first living together, we took courses from Moore University, pretty much everything.
Oh, okay. So that was your training.
That was our training. And we took pretty much all of their courses, and we were a big part of their community for a long time. We never lived with them, but we engaged with them. They're wonderful, remarkable people. Thank God for them and their research. And so then we took the information and what we learned and created our own through our experiences and through our research. And then how fun is it that students of ours, Nicole Dedone, Robert Kandel, and Ken Blackman, all of One Taste, they all trained with us. Nicole, she took pretty much all of our courses, as did Robert, and they lived with us for a couple of years. And they took our highest level course, the confirmation course, where you learn and you get trained in orgasm, how to produce a superior orgasm, and how to experience a superior orgasm.
You have a video or a DVD or something that's like a one-hour orgasm?
We don't have a DVD, but
okay.
we do teach a course called Observation of Intense Coming, where we demonstrate to students a one-hour orgasm through...
Amazing.
Yeah, through clitoral stimulation.
Wow. Well, we're going to take a short break there. I think I'm a little out of breath just hearing that. And I imagine some of my listeners are too, so this is a good place to break. And I was just speaking with Sherry, who was one of the founders of Welcome's Consensus, and now I'm going to be speaking with Rebecca and asking her some questions about this latest DVD that Welcome's Consensus just put out called A Guide to Your Orgasm. So when we come back, that's exactly what we'll be talking about. Please stay tuned. This is Laurie Hamlers, and you're listening to Sex and Happiness. And this part of the show is brought to you by Zestra.
My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra is safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Hamlers on the Sex and Happiness Show. We'll be right back.
Well, we're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Hamlers, your host, and I am talking today with two members of Welcome Consensus. One of them, Sherry Testerman, has been a member of Welcome Consensus, a founding member, for 21 years. And she's just been speaking to us about orgasm, specifically female orgasm, but also how men's orgasm can be brought about with the same techniques. And she's been talking to us about how it makes sense. The thing she said in the last segment that was so telling, besides telling the truth, which I loved, of course, I jumped right on that. But the other thing she talked about at the very end was allowing friends to give pleasure in your body. What a concept. I really just got all breathy about that in the end of the last segment, because I feel like that is so needed and necessary. So many people are love and touch and orgasm starved, and the only best friend they have is their plastic vibrator. And that's a great tool, don't get me wrong. And that's not a live being who cares about us and is putting pleasure in our body. So I just feel phenomenal about that last statement. Well, now I want to ask some questions to Rebecca. Now, Rebecca, I had a chance to see you in a short trailer about this new DVD called A Guide to Your Orgasm. And I was really impressed with you, your openness, your own physical sensuality, and your covering of the topic of self-pleasure or masturbation. And so first I want to just ask you how you came to make this DVD. How did you become the star of it? Did they say we're going to make a DVD and you said, oh, I want to. It's me. I mean, how did you get to be the one?
Well, it actually started that my life was really fun and I was having a great time with the viewpoints that I was living from. And I started thinking like, wow, you know, these ideas that are new ideas to me that I started using in my life, I thought if everybody had this, boy, the world would be such a different place. People would be so much happier because I was so much happier. And I thought, gee, what can I do that would let people know some of these viewpoints and some of these ideas that are making my life so much better and my orgasm so much better and my relationship so much better? And that's when I thought about doing this video. And right after I started thinking about it, Sherry came to me and said, hey, you know, I've been thinking about you doing a video. And
really?
I said, yeah, I can understand why. I feel the same way, and this feels right, and let's do it. And that was, it was a long process from there of talking about it and thinking about it and what we wanted to say as a group, because it's from the Welcome Consensus, but from myself and my own experience of these viewpoints.
Well, it's very personal.
Yes, it is personal. It's my personal journey of sensuality. But in that video, I really just demonstrate how I masturbate. I demonstrate extended orgasm, deliberate orgasm using this technique.
Yeah, so I mean, it doesn't get any more personal than that, really.
Yeah.
And Sherry came to you just at the time you were thinking of it. I mean, Sherry, is it because, are you the video producer, or is it because you just are in sync? All of a sudden, Rebecca's having these thoughts and you're so close with her that you just find out, oh, we're on the same page. Why don't we talk about making a video?
Well, the Welcome Consensus, we have been talking about doing a new female masturbation DVD, and I do get involved in the video production part. I love it. And so I did feel inspired to.
Yes, great. That's great. Well, Rebecca, I mean, it's personal. It's up close and personal. You show your body, you show your genitals, and there's nothing about it in any, I'm just saying this so that anyone listening can know, there is nothing about it that in any way borders on sensational in the sense of, you know, risque, cheeky, cheesy, porno, nothing like that. It's just like straight up, this is who I am, and you can see, you, whoever you are, can see me on the inside and outside, outside and inside. That's a remarkable feat.
Yeah, that is what makes this video different than many of the things that are out there, is my intention with this video, because when I started thinking about it, I started thinking about a particular person that I know, woman that I know, and I had her in my mind of what I wanted to get across to her and what was making my life better. And so from there, you know, I really did want to show what's possible for a woman and for men too, to watch it, to see what is possible, because what can be possible for one person can be possible for another.
Yes, and you certainly do demonstrate that. So it's courageous that you would do it, I feel, to be so exposed. I mean, maybe it was a fantasy that you had, I don't know, but also for me, watching you, it felt so exposed. You felt so exposed. And is it beyond your wildest dreams? I mean, personally, did you ever think when you were growing up, oh, I'm going to make a video?
No, I didn't think about that growing up. But yeah, I mean, what you said is true. It's very personal, and I exposed myself, but I felt like that was really the only way that people would feel it, is if I really was having the experience of doing myself, of deliberate orgasm and producing this kind of orgasm in my body. And I really had a great orgasm that day, and it was fun thinking about it. It was about a year that I was thinking about it and, you know, just deciding what it was that I wanted to express. And so I didn't jump into it just lightly, but it was a fun time. The day that I did it, it was like, bam, right away, a lot of intense sensation in my body, a lot of intensity in that orgasm, and it was a fun ride.
Wow, so great to hear. It really, really is. It really does actually distinguish you and your efforts and this DVD from a lot of things that people know of in the porno world, at least in the old porno world, which is people getting drugged up and performing and nothing actually happening. No orgasms. No. And just performances. And you, real, raw, exposed, just there with you and yourself and the camera. I mean, it's so different and so distinct. So I give you a lot of kudos for doing it and for considering it for so long, like considering it with grace for a year or so.
I'm glad that you said that, because it is unique for that reason, that I am feeling, and a person who's watching it can feel what I am feeling.
Yeah. Now, the Dalai Lama says that something about women bringing the world into peace and harmony. And I don't know if the Dalai Lama thought of this when he was saying this, but doesn't this relate to happy and filled women, like women who are happy with their bodies and happy in their orgasm? This would make a huge difference. Something that Sherry said earlier in the show about people just being happy, and then you being so happy in your life that you want to make a DVD of it. Just, can you see this connection at all to what the Dalai Lama is talking about?
Absolutely. I mean, I can say for myself, I'm a much happier person because I feel so gratified in my sex life, and I feel so gratified in my friendships and my relationships through this kind of connecting. And it's not just about self-pleasure, which is what I demonstrate in this video, but through that deliberate orgasm, I've had very deep connection with my partner, and it is gratifying, like Sherry was describing before. It's gratifying to deeply in your soul and feel that kind of connection. They know you, they're producing that kind of pleasure for you. It's a profound experience, and it does make me feel happy to have this kind of profound experience in my life every day whenever I want it, you know. And that's the thing that really changed for me when I found out about this, was, wow, I could have this anytime. It's not like out of happenstance. I know now what to do, how to do this every time reliably. And that's what's so much fun, is just available anytime to anyone who wants to know these techniques and the ideas that produce that kind of orgasm in your life.
Really, really great stuff. That was so good. Reliable production of fabulous orgasm leading to wonderful oxytocins, serotonin, all these great chemicals in the brain, and happiness. Sex and happiness, a perfect fit for this show. Now let's talk about how people can go about getting this DVD and others. There are other demonstrations on many DVDs and videos. So, like, I know there's another one called Orgasm at First Touch, and there's probably a bunch of others. How can people get this list of information and go about ordering if they're interested, or connecting with your group if they're interested?
People can go to our website, thewellcome.com, and we have a whole video page that shows icon, a picture of them, and describes each DVD. Email us at welcome.com, and we always are open to people contacting us with any questions.
So let me spell that. It's www.welcomed, WELCOMED.com. I always want to put that D in because it's almost silent when you say it.
And the phone number is 1-877-HOW-TO-DO.
Oh, okay. It's 877-HOW-TO-DO. Oh, that's great. And also, you lead sensuality retreats in Northern California, and you have online sex classes. Is that true, too?
Yes, we do.
So for those people listening, if you want to take your sex life to a new level, and you're not so into spirituality like the Tantra stuff that we talk about on this show a lot, or that kind of thing, but you just want to improve your sex life, increase your sensation, and you want to just do it matter of fact, and you don't want any, I call woo-woo, in it, here's another option for you, that you can get lessons here, and you can do it in the privacy of your own home.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, that's great. Well, Sherry and Rebecca, thank you so much for being my guest today. It was really nice to have you on and to have such straightforward, frank communication about all this, and I have a really good feeling about you, and I really hope that people will take you up on the invitation to check this out. Certainly this new DVD, which Rebecca stars in, it's just really, it's hot. It's really hot.
Well, thank you, Lori. It's been fun to be here with you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. And everybody, please stay tuned, because in the next segment, we'll be talking about a new model for love. And I'm very excited about that as well. We'll be right back.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life, get the best from relationships, attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Lori Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Lori Handlers, only $19.99 paperback, and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
Well, we're back, everybody, with the second half of Sex and Happiness today, and I'm Lori Handlers, your host. And this part of the show, I'm talking about love, a new aspect of love, a new form of love, maybe a new way of looking at love. You know, love is so overrated, and the word means a different thing to every single person. If I say I love you, some people think that means that I want to have sex with them. If I say I love you, some people think I love them like a sister or brother. People are not clear about love, and so we're going to delve into love a little bit here. My guest is Kenya K. Stevens. She's a mother, an author, a blogger, a love coach, and she's been a wife for 17 years. She's the founder of the Progressive Love Movement, and what she says is that she ushers couples into a new world of progressive love. Kenya, welcome to the show.
Hi, Lori. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And this is a much confusing,
yes,
and sometimes troublemaking,
yes,
and difficult topic. So you say progressive love. So first of all, could you say, like, when someone says I love you to you, what does that mean?
Well, I think of love in only one way. It means that I feel a connection to you. I'd like to connect to you, and I'd like for you to connect to me. I'd like for you to hook into me in some way. I don't consider any type of love to be mysterious. I think that people desire connection. And what kind of connection? Well, that can be discussed. But love, to me, is the desire for connection, as we're all one. We're all one being. So, of course, we desire connections to one another.
Hmm. Okay, so you mean
doing anything to me, Lori? You understand?
So, I perfectly well understand. This is refreshing and wonderful to hear mirrored back at me.
Yeah, you know.
Because I've been saying this kind of stuff for years. So it's a pleasure to hear you speak about it, really. No villains. I love it.
Yes. So those are the first two. No shame, no blame, no victims, no villains. And then the next one is no cop-outs, no dropouts, which is a very challenging principle for many people. But for us who understand metaphysics, we understand that there's nowhere to go away from yourself. So you decide that, oh, my gosh, I don't like this person anymore. This person is getting on my nerves. But truly, what's getting on your nerves about them? Oh, it's your reflection. So to drop out would be to leave altogether. And to cop out would be to say, well, I'm going to stay, but I'm just going to uninvest my energy here. And I'm just going to be here as a physical body and not invest my energy. Those two things really don't work, even in friendships, all kinds of love. It's time to dive in and deal with stuff instead of copping out or dropping out. And we call that 100% commitment.
Being all in. Do not attempt to leave the ride.
Where are you going to go? You're going to go to another person who's going to put you on the same ride. Why? Because you created that ride in the first place, and it's for you. It's for your growth. Which leads to the fourth topic, which is the idea that the purpose of love is growth. The purpose of the relationship is growth. The benefit is the good, cushy feelings that you want to feel. That's the benefit. Most people think those good, cushy feelings are the purpose, and that's where we go wrong. No, the purpose is that you're going to have challenges with this person. Those challenges are going to take you outside of who you think you are and make you bigger if you address them. So, yeah, that's the fourth principle. The purpose is growth.
Now, did you invent this?
Yes. My husband and I, after a very tumultuous first 10 years, we just started to create a new way to be with each other so that we could have a happy marriage. We have three children. We didn't want a divorce. We thought it was a cop-out. So that's where no cop-outs, no dropouts came in. And we said, well, we're blaming each other for everything. Well, no shame, no blame. Well, we think the other is the villain and I'm the victim to everything. So we just crafted those four, and they are based on universal principles that we know as well.
Wow. It's clever. It's catchy, you know, like a dance.
It's
to
easy
it.
To remember. Yeah.
It is easy to remember. It's great. So your husband and you, and at what point, you've been together for 17 years, that's quite an accomplishment. At what point in your relating would you say that you developed this?
Well, we started to develop it. I had a whole huge bout with a life-threatening cancer. And once I recovered from that, which I wasn't supposed to, I was given a short time to live, and I actually beat the diagnosis. And it made me realize that I'm here for a purpose, and I realized that, oh, my gosh, I have to learn. I was told while I was in the hospital bed dying that I was dying because I wasn't being correct in my relationship. I wasn't being a female. If I'm in a female body, I wasn't acting from my femininity. I was controlling. I was very angry prone. I was very irritable. I was very unrelaxed in my relationship. So that's where it started. And we just kept moving from there. We've written books about it. Then we started the blog, and then we started the coaching, and it's just become a great movement. But it started from our concerns, our challenges with each other.
So actually, it's very organic what you're talking about. It was a message. It was an inner guidance message to you to, wake up.
Yes.
Get who you are. And then out of the creation of you realizing and waking up, you started a whole business, came organically right out of you. It's like giving birth.
Right. I had no idea what I was going to do. You know, in college, I wasn't thinking, oh, let me grow up and be a love coach. Nor was my husband. He was a technology major. He got his MBA. He was a business person, business finance. We didn't set out to do this. It was just a calling, yes, that came through our connection.
It's just so cool. I discovered you on Twitter. Your things come across all the time. And So I found them interesting, and that's when I wrote to you and said, you know, I'd like to interview you, but I really didn't know the depth of what you were going to tell me and the depth of what it is really and who you are.
Wow. I think that those of like minds are really coming together these days, and that's another reason for progressive love and for the concept of universal love and even open love. So I just think it's time in general for these principles to coagulate and to have more and more people have access to them.
Yeah, there's no question about that. If it doesn't happen, if people don't really get who they are, if they don't wake up to who they are, I think it's really waking up to who they are as having a purpose.
Yes, that's it.
On the planet.
That's it. It's not anything specific, like everyone needs to be doing this thing. No, it's whatever you're supposed to be doing. Realize we're not androids. We're not machines. We have destinies. And when we live that, then we can be of use to one another again. We can become truly human again. Yeah.
That's what I'm really getting as your universal message. You actually define this universal love. You say the reason we fall in love, bond, and then seek more love. That's what universal love is. So we fall in love, we bond, and we fall in love with however it is that you mean it. It could be all the ways that I opened the show with, you know, or I opened this segment of the show with, and then we seek more love. So if you were saying that you seek more love, are you saying like, perhaps one person or one partner or even one family isn't enough for you or for one person?
Absolutely, I'm saying that. I'm saying that the number one desire of human beings on planet Earth is acknowledgement. And I won't even say desire. I will say need. Like air is a need. Food is a need. Water is a need. The idea of acknowledgement, touch, and love, it is a need. It's just as important as air and food and water. So,
yes, this is true.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is that the idea of marrying one person or befriending one person, you understand, or having one child that you love becomes a ridiculous notion. I mean, how many of us just want one glass of water? No, every day we wake up, we want more. We want variety. We want different kinds. We buy different kinds. We want different kinds of food. We want all of this that we can get. So the idea with universal love or open love concepts is that when we bond with one, we establish that bond, and that feels like maybe in a romantic love situation, it feels like falling in love. And then you get there, you fall in love, you bond, and then bing, 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 your desire goes off to have this whole thing happen again. And it doesn't mean that now you want to get rid of this child or get rid of this husband or get rid of this friend. It means now you want more of the same. Why? It is because love essentially is building the human community. And the human community, okay, is one that is connected on several fronts. It's not an antisocial community. You see how we bond on Twitter. You see how we bond on Facebook. Soon as those things came out, they skyrocketed. Everybody wants to get together. We just want to love and touch and talk to each other again. That's the human community. And so relationships are headed in that direction, too. And Facebook.
And you make it sound like, actually, I hadn't thought about it, but you make it sound, I always thought that dancing the tango was safe sex. But now, based on what you're saying to me, I feel like Facebook and Twitter are people are having social intercourse.
Yes, they are. And they're enjoying it very much. And it's not it's not going anywhere. And it's almost like it saved our lives. You know, the idea that, okay, yes, like it was a huge exhale to be able to meet, you know, all of the people that we love again and enjoy them in some acceptable way again. However, it is getting people in trouble because they are desiring through those connections even deeper, closer physical connections with others.
Yeah, they are. All kinds of things are happening. I mean, all kinds of things are happening because all of a sudden, people, they're very brave. Have you noticed people are so brave on the internet? They'll say things they never would have said to you, even if you knew them for 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they will, because they know they won't get in trouble. And the idea of getting in trouble has got to go, because how is expansion of love somehow troubling to us. If we look around and people dying from lack of touch, dying from heartbreak and heartache, which is just the heart not being able to connect to other hearts and heal, dying from genital illnesses like prostate cancer and uterine cancer, which is what I was suffering from, the idea that we aren't utilizing ourselves, the law of use says that if you're not utilizing something, then it has to sort of shrivel up and die. Well, we don't want parts of ourselves shrivel up and dying, especially not our hearts and our genitals and our breasts.
Right.
We have got to understand the connection of all these illnesses, lots of things going on, to the fact that we really need to cultivate more love. And so that's where open love comes in, universal love. My husband and I have an open marriage. So we are absolutely walking the walk, not just talking. This is not intellectual, Laura.
Yes, I could tell. I can tell. It's physical.
It's physical.
Yeah.
You know.
We're going to take a short break here because you just opened up, for some people, Pandora's box, and for other people, just some questions. So when we come back, I'm going to ask you some questions about how you and your husband navigate having open relationships. And how the children navigate having your parents in open relationship. And I really want to come to it from an educational standpoint so that people listening can start to grapple with this notion themselves.
Good.
And come to find out more from you and about you. So that's where we're going to take our break. Yeah, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers, your host, and I'm having the pleasure to interview Kenya K. Stevens, who I met on Twitter, and we were having social intercourse. Now we're having radio intercourse, and we're really having a good time because, you know, she's not expressing a totally new idea, but she is expressing it in a new and refreshed way, like a way that maybe even you can hear. So please stay tuned. We will be right back.
Are you in pain or unable to sleep? Ever hear about how the body needs glutathione for natural cleansing? Could you use a boost of energy? Try Life Wave Patches. There are a variety of patches to choose from. Each one of them is designed like a small band-aid to help your body with the challenges of life when you're simply not getting what the body needs for support. And you can use these amazing patches on your pets. Go to Life Wave Patches for Pets and People on Facebook and see Suzanne Summers' interview with Dr. David Schmidt about patches that reduce stress and inflammation while increasing energy. You can also find out more at ValerieHandlers.com. That's ValerieHandlers.com. Or call Valerie at 714-928-6399 to order your patches or consider becoming an independent Life Wave distributor. That's 714-928-6399.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Lori talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Lori's CD, Shamanic Release and Lati Han, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Lori is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Lori sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lati Han today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lati Han CD by Lori Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
Hi, I'm Laurie Handlers, and I'm back with Sex and Happiness. And this portion of today's show is brought to you by Sex Butter, which you will hear about soon. Right now, I'm with Kenya K. Stevens, and she's an author and a blogger. She's a love coach. It was unbeknownst to her that she was going to become such. She's been married for 17 years, and she said that in the darkest night of her soul, which was when she was suffering from cancer and going through turmoil with her husband, she got the notion that she was supposed to be more in life. And now she's bringing, along with her husband, she's bringing more in life to you. So, Kenya, so far, so great, what we were talking about before. I want to ask you, how you came up with the notion of open relating. I mean, I know people who open relate. It's certainly a commonplace phenomenon in my world, in the world of Tantra and sacred sexuality. And people come to it from different awakenings, and some people have an easy time negotiating it, they say. And some people have a very difficult time negotiating open relating. Can you tell us exactly what it means and then how you personally went about negotiating them?
Sure, absolutely. The idea of open relating in our world of progressive love, it just simply means the idea of showing up as a real person in your relationship, bringing authenticity in so that you don't have two different minds, where one of your minds, you can share everything from that mind with your partner, but the other mind is your own personal things that you can't share with your partner. That creates a dichotomous relationship. So the reason for open relating is the idea of authenticity. Now, a sexually open relationship means that we can partner and have sex with others outside of our relationships. We can love them. We can have sex with them. In the world of progressive love, we don't believe in swinging. So it's not the idea of just sex. It's the idea that, okay, if we have a sexually open relationship, we can have love relationships that involve emotions with other persons outside of our partnerships. But then, of course, there's the non-sexual open relationship where persons decide that we can have friendships, emotional friendships with others of the opposite sex, but we don't go into the sexual act. So we have segmented it into a few more categories to confuse everybody. No. But that's the idea of the open relationship. Now, how my husband and I got there, at year four of our marriage, just after I had healed from this illness, the idea was that I was so controlling, so overboard with everything, prudishness, everything, that after I let it go and the illness left my body, I met a man. And he was somebody in my church, and he and I were working late at church building something. And I gave him a hug, and Lori, my whole body filled with orgasm, like from my toes to my head, I was in orgasm in this man's embrace. So I told my marriage counselors, because we had marriage counselors at that time, and they said, table it, Kenya. Nothing you can do with that. I told my husband, he said, okay, well, so what? I mean, I'm your husband, and that was it. I couldn't think about it again. But girl, did I dream about him every night for a year.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, and then it was over. I let it go. 5 years later, my husband came home from work and just announced to me that he was having feelings of love for a coworker. So instead of flipping out, I listened to him, and I remembered what I had gone through, and I said, wow, okay, well, what do you want to do? And he said, well, I want you to meet her. And silly me, I said, okay, and I met her. But we weren't ready to open at that time. We just started the discussion. They remained friends. 2 years later, we opened after a long two-year discussion about how that would look, how that would go.
And so was it with this person that your husband had
had
introduced you to?
No.
No, but you realized that there was the potential for this to happen over and over again in your relationship, and that it was probably normal.
Yeah.
And now the question was it going to be healthy?
Absolutely. And we had to grapple with that for 2 years. I couldn't just do it because I was coming out of control and jealousy. I would get jealous if my husband helped another woman with her groceries or helped her open a car door. If he talked to his mother for too long, I was jealous. So I was very tight. I wasn't the type of woman who you'd think, oh my gosh, she could totally have an open relationship. No.
Wow. But you threw all that off. I mean, what you're talking about is a total life transformation.
Yes, it was. It had to be, though, or else I'd not be here. I have to give thanks that I was willing to go through the transformation in order to step into my destiny rather than shrinking backwards and, you know, losing my life. It was really a choice.
It's amazing. I'm part of a community of people that's into physical immortality, living forever.
Nice.
And we talk about how the female bitch chemistry has to go.
Yeah. Yes.
and that it's causing death on the planet. It's causing death to ourselves. It's causing death to others around us. All that jealousy and all that control and all that tightness.
Yes.
Is causing death. And then we also talk about men, how men have to give up that macho thing. It isn't to not be feminine or masculine, but it's there's certain traits that we were handed through the umbilical cord, through the socialization, through religion, through the culture, through the ethnicity, all of it.
Sure.
There's certain things that we were given that weren't exactly gifts.
Right. Masculinity has nothing to do with machoism. It has more to do with leadership. It has more to do with diplomacy and the idea of communication. And I mean, a man, we have four traits for masculinity, and that is monk, warrior, leader, and negotiator. That's one thing that if a couple wants to move on from this paradigm, they have to understand what you're saying, the idea of those gender roles. And it's not a stuffy thing to say, well, you have to be this or you have to cook and clean. No, it's just the energy of femininity. The feminine gender roles are lover, conservationist, devotee, and visionary. So we have defined also 8 gender roles that are just guidelines for our people and the persons who come to Progressive Love to know what it looks like, where we've never learned that. We got a bad blueprint. Not
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, we did. Well, you know, this visionary, I got goosebumps when you said visionary, because also there are people in my circle that feel, and not in this particular community, but in my extended circle, that feel that the vision of older women is going to be what brings the planet to peace and harmony.
Absolutely. That's what we got to do. We got to join forces, because that's the only way that anything is given birth to, from women holding the vision. Women have a womb, but we also have a psychic womb. That psychic womb is what gives birth to reality. Everything we see, the deaths, the murders, the news, the politics, everything comes from the vision of a female. So if we can get women to understand that, and especially those of age who can hold a vision for much longer and can sustain that vision and can empower that vision with orgasmic energy as well.
Yes! I was going to say to you, and the secret to that lies in orgasm.
Yes. And that's what
this
men understand. Oftentimes men don't understand. I won't say men in general. Oftentimes they don't understand why they're with a woman. What is a woman to them? Well, we are your magical vehicles. I make all of my men rich and powerful. How? Just by lying down and receiving his seed. If he has a dream, if he wants something to manifest, tell me, baby, I'll put that in my psychic womb. We will create that. Period. You know, it's just that simple.
Yes, it is that simple. It's great. Oh, I love this. This, to me, is the most complicated question. To you, it may not be, but for me, understanding how you explain this to the children, how do the children go along with this? How do you make a bridge between them, and then they're in school with everybody else whose parents are still in the bitch chemistry and then the macho thing? Or if they even have two, you know, some people, like, they only see one, but... Like, how do your children navigate your open relating, which sounds very healthy, sounds normal to me.
Sure.
How do they navigate?
Well, our children, I think they knew who they were being born to, first of all. But second of all, to get real physical with you, I believe that children are more flexible than adults. So for us, because our children are smart and they understand life and love and metaphysics and manifestation, they can look around and see that marriage is not working as it is. I mean, all of their friends have divorced parents. So when we tell our children, well, mommy and daddy will always be together, no cop-outs, no dropouts, and we will always have other partners that can actually be resources to you. My children love my other partners. When daddy goes out of town to see his girlfriend and when my partner comes over to stay, they are like, yes, oh my gosh, David's coming. Oh my gosh, Vic is coming. Oh my gosh, because they know that's extra support for them. That's community. The nuclear family is not sustainable. You can look around and see it. Adults need more adults. It takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to love the adults. It's clear to children that they need more support, and our children have that. So we've just explained it to them like it is, and they love it.
That is so healthy and so real. Again, you know, I'm really impressed with your telling the truth and your clarity.
Yeah.
About this and how real it is. In our last few minutes, first of all, I want to let people know how to get in touch with you, and then I want to ask you for like one hot tip. So how do people get in touch with you? I know you have your identity on Twitter as Juju Mama, but how really do you want people to get in touch with you so that they can write to you, find out more, take some classes or coaching from you, whatever it is that you offer, tell us and tell us how.
Sure. If you go to my blog or my website, it is Jujumama, JUJUMAMA.com, and that will take you to everything Jujumama. Jujumama is the name of our company. Progressive Love Movement is the name of our cause. And on the Jujumama space that you go to, you will see our store, you will see our blog posts. We have over 400 blog posts, 10 writers. We have wonderful resources, both for free and for purchase, in terms of our books. I mean, we've done 14 books. We have everything there for you. Courses, femininity courses, feminine power 101, masculine power 101. We have it all. And so if they go there, they'll see everything.
So that's easy enough. Jujumama, J-U-J-U-M-A-M-A. And then if we were to say in the last moment, you had a tip for people, like if people want to take their first step into realizing a much more progressive love in their life, what should they do?
Well, ask yourself, is what you're doing working?
How's that working for you?
Because that's what, when people have major arguments, like for instance, we're doing a reality show, it comes out on major television in November of 2012. The first thing everybody's going to say is, well, why are they doing this? This is not traditional. This is anti-everything, anti-God, or this is a, you know, whatever. But then you have to say, well, baby, we're creative enough to create things that work. And here's a way. But if you don't want to do it, that's fine. But ask yourself, is what you're doing working? Is it sustainable? Do you want your children to live this way? And then you can start to unravel and take down some of the conditionings and some of the social constructs that have you thinking that a way that fails 55% of the time is actually the way.
Yeah, that sounds like the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a new result.
That's right. It's Einstein.
Oh, it's Einstein?
Yes. And the other thing Einstein says is that you cannot resolve or solve a problem with the same method that created it. So, you know.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I wish you the best. I'm excited about it. I will certainly be back in touch with you myself.
Good.
I feel like there's a lot to collaborate on here. I just never expected all of this when I wrote to you, but as you said, like minds and like souls attract. So I certainly was excited by your posts and had to get in touch with you. So I hope that others get in touch with you. And I thank you for being a guest on Sex and Happiness.
I thank you. I love entanglement, and I enjoy being with you. Thank you.
I'm speaking today with Bonnie Gale, who is the co-creator of Sex Butter, a wonderful new female enhancement product that can be used by females and males. So tell me a little bit about Sex Butter. How did you get the name Sex Butter?
The Sex Butter, the product itself, actually looks and feels like butter and melts into your skin just like butter does when you touch it. And it's for sexual enhancement and lubrication. So I wanted something really direct that let people know what it was about.
Well, it sounds absolutely yummy.
It is.
Does it smell yummy? Does it have a taste and a smell to it?
Yes, it smells like dark chocolate mint, which I think is pretty yummy. And the taste of it, it has a kind of like a taste like coconut oil.
Oh, but the smell sounds wonderful. Dark chocolate and mint. How wonderful is that? When people use Sex Butter, what can they expect? Like, what can the woman expect? We'll start with her.
Okay, I apply it internally onto the vaginal walls and the G-spot area as well as the clitoral area. And it really makes internal orgasms easy and effortless. I mean, the sensation is just amazing. And there's a little surprise that comes out for those men who are not used to their women having internal orgasms that can be accomplished with Sex Butter.
I like the idea of a surprise.
So do the men.
If men use it alone, is that okay too?
Oh, yeah, they can definitely use it alone. And the really amazing thing for men, they feel sensation even after they have orgasm, so the recovery time is really shortened big time.
It sounds like everybody should try Sex Butter, don't you think?
I think everybody should try Sex Butter.
How can people get Sex Butter? How can they order it?
We have Sex Butter in 1 ounce jars. It looks like a high-end eye cream, so people don't have to be embarrassed when they order it. It doesn't look sleazy or porn-like. So have little travel packs that people can take along. They can actually, each one can be used like up to 3 times.
How can they find out about it?
www.sexbutter.net.
Sounds terrific. Thank you so much, Bonnie Gale.
Thank you.
Next week, come back to Sex and Happiness when I'll have another expert on love, sex, relationship, happiness, something more to increase your sex and increase your happiness. This is Laurie Hamler signing off for Sex and Happiness.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Laurie and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Laurie's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to know.